lives that have been changed at this church over the last 16, 17 years. And as we kind of launch into this message series, we want to share with you how that we can pay it forward and invest into the next generation of believers, the next generations of families that are going to walk the doors. And yes, even our students that are at an all-time high at every level of our church. What an exciting time to be at Genesis Metro. Whenever I thought about this story that I'm going to unpack today, we're really picking up for all of the men. We were at Uprising 2019. We talked about Joshua chapter 1, and really we're just picking up in Joshua chapter 2 today, and it's going to be a crazy story. One of the crazier stories in the Bible that I don't think that if any of us were writing the Bible, that this was one of the stories that we would have written. And so as we prepare to think about that in just a moment, I wanted to intro it kind of like this. This is going to come as a surprise to many of you, but I'm a sucker for a good love story, a romantic comedy. Anybody else in here? Men, you need to get better at that, okay? Something wrong with people that don't like a good romantic comedy. You know, they all kind of formulaic, would you guys agree? Like Top Gun, getting ready to remake that one, you know? I just don't feel like it's going to live up to the original. Anybody else on board with me? But it's like a couple always meets in some random way, right? Some kind of fate brings them together. And that's usually the beginning of the movie. And then something tragic happens, something terrible, some maybe misunderstanding, maybe someone makes a mistake, maybe someone cheats. I don't know what happens, but there's always something that wedges them apart. And the rest of the movie is trying to resolve that conflict, overcome that obstacle, that issue that's present. They're trying to figure out if it's real, and then like if they can overcome it, they get back together. Whenever Maverick ejected and Goose hit the canopy, my gosh. No, Goose, don't die. And he's holding him in the water. And I started thinking, if someone turned off that movie in the middle of the issue, they would have thought they never got together. They would have thought the movie ended with our heroes and our heroines divided and they never got to true love. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is kind of mirroring our story in here today. Everyone in this audience, and I think you'll agree with me, has issues and problems to solve at any given moment at every stage of life. And the church said, you got some problems you're trying to solve. I got some problems I'm trying to solve. We all have some problems that we're trying to solve. And yet, we've had these meetings with God. And then conflict arises and it drives a wedge between us, right? Our focus. Anybody ever kind of started down the God and then like you got a little unfocused or life happened and now it's competing interest in your life? And man, kind of like Jesse said last week, if you stopped halfway through this movie, you would not know how it ends. When we pick up the story in just a moment of the lady that's the star in today's show, a lady named Rahab, if you would have stopped her life when she was in the middle, boy, I'm telling you, you would have thought you could guarantee what the ending was. And so today, I guess the sermon is going to be about, for all of my people in here that are in the midst of an issue, if anybody in here has a problem that you're trying to solve and you don't know how to solve it, and you're wondering for the life of you, how could you ever get past or get out of what you're in? Today, oh my gosh, I don't even know. I've been off 3 weeks, so I'm going to preach like an hour and a half. So that's just how it's going to go. Y'all think that I have time off. That's torture for me to not preach. But I want to get into today's message, and I want you to know that opportunity is looking for you. Opportunity is looking for you this morning. Man, man, man. After God had told Joshua they were crossing over, it says that he sent out two spies into the land. We can put the verse up on the screen. He said, I want you to go over there. I want you to look at the land. I want you to especially look at Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. I just want you to let that sink in for just a moment. We're starting off a godly mission to do something that the other generation failed to do. And our first stop is at a prostitute's house. Now, if you were the average church person and you heard about Johnny and Larry stopping off at Rahab's house, I'm just going to guess that in our Christian judging ways, we would probably be like, well, those guys shouldn't be on that search committee. No. I don't think so. Staying over at Rahab's house. Was there no other place to stay? I'm baffled, honestly, when I read verses like this. Because it always challenges me to remind myself, you know, which person do you think you are in this story? Because opportunity was looking for Rahab long before she was looking for opportunity. And I started thinking, isn't that the way that God interacts with us? You let me know. Were you looking for God before he was looking for you? Because when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and they were separated, I don't know if y'all remember, they didn't know they were naked and then they knew they were naked. Does anybody remember that? Yes, okay. So naked wasn't bad before sin, and then naked became tainted. So what God intended for good, man twisted into something bad. And then we're still all jacked up on it to this very day, trying to figure out naked good, naked bad. Anyway, God comes to them in the garden. They tried to hide themselves. So their natural response to sin was to run from the presence of God, not run to the presence of God. Now, you just let me know whenever I start talking to you. Whenever you get caught in sin, whenever an issue arises, and do you run to the presence of God or do you run from the presence of God? Most of us run from the presence of God because we don't want our sin to be exposed. And yet, opportunity, the Father came looking for them before they were looking for God. From the very fall of man, God has been looking for us. Opportunity has been looking for us. Such is the pattern of God. When you're reading the scriptures, you will notice consistent patterns throughout all 66 books that are written, and that is that God is constantly looking for us before we are looking for him. I want to take my bazooka out at this juncture. Now, for those of you that are my Fortnite friends, this would be the rocket launcher. And so back in the day, we would say bazooka. I'm going to take a bazooka out and blow your face off. And so a bazooka is this weapon that's launching this large explosive round out of it. And so many people, whenever they encounter God's word and whenever we're relatively new in studying theology, and this can be from being a beginner Christian to being in church a long time, but you just never have really contemplated things, we're always encountering this concept of like, well, how is it fair for me that were raised in Christian world or Texas or whatever that we have this great opportunity to become a believer, and yet those people way over there somewhere, like, they seem like they don't have the same opportunity. I'm going to tell you that the opportunity is the same for every person that has ever been born into this world. That opportunity has been looking for them for all of eternity, that God would have a relationship with them. He even goes on record that his will, if you want to know what it is that all would be saved and that none should perish. And the church said, amen. He was looking for Abraham when he was in the middle of nowhere, Ur of the Chaldees. He was looking for Joseph when he was in prison and he was at his lowest. He was looking for Moses after he had committed murder and felt like he was useless in the arms of God and so fled to the desert. I wonder if there's anyone in here that feels like they are in the middle of nowhere, if they are in a prison that they can't get out of, that they didn't choose to be in, or maybe you're just in a desert in which you feel like your life is now useless in the hands of God because of some past decision that you have made. I don't know, but I know that he was looking for those people when they weren't looking for him, just like he's looking for you this morning. And it may seem like chance that you walked into this room, just like all those great love stories. Is it chance or is God looking for you? Is he putting a song, a sermon, or an open door of opportunity before your very eyes this morning? That, even though when God's people met Rahab, she was a prostitute. Now I want you to go through all of the emotions that she must have gone through in order to get to that moment where you have no other options but to do this. Man, it's kind of interesting how we think we're out of options and yet God has so many opportunities. Boy, that opportunity was walking by. And if we are watching on the outside this movie, we're cheering for Rahab. Don't miss. Don't miss that opportunity. Man, that opportunity is going to walk by you, and you got to make a decision in that moment. Do you want it to stay the way it's been? Do you want to keep going down this path of pain? I know that you were out of alternatives, but God was never out of opportunities. I wonder if there's someone in here this morning that I might be talking to that has the opportunity like Rahab, that when you were at your lowest, God walked into your worst moment and said, no, I know that you were out of options, but I was never out of opportunities. I better get to point two sometime today, but that felt like a good warm-up. This is one verse. Rahab promptly hid the spies and crafted a version of the truth that allowed for distraction so that these men might not be captured. Before the spies lay down that night, it says that she went up to the roof and she said to them, verse 8, I know that the Lord has given you this land. I want you to see this, because what you're going to find is that this message is consistent and everyone is getting the same message. It says that before that she lay down, she went up, she said, I want you to know, she's talking to the spies. She says, I want you to know, I know the Lord has given you this land. Now, she had not talked to Moses. She had not talked to Joshua. She didn't catch the stream on YouTube. Okay, it's just, how in the world did the message that came to Joshua get to Rahab on the other side of the walls of Jericho? You ever thought about that? She had heard about the exploits from Egypt and how they had beaten the kings of the Amorites. Verse 11, it says, when we heard of these things, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God. Now you would think in this story, Rahab is the believer, right? Is it like, right? Is anybody else catching this? This is a pagan. She'd never been to church a day in her life. But she says, the Lord your God is God of heaven and he's God of earth. She said, he's God of everywhere. And I don't know who needed to hear it today, but I'm going to tell you, just like he was the God of the mountaintop when you were doing well, he's the God of the valley when you're making mistakes. And the church said, yes, amen, he's the God of everywhere. I want you to see how consistent the message is. We're going to recap Joshua 1 and Joshua 2. Joshua 1, God comes to Joshua and he says, look, man, I'm about to take your people across this river into the land that they are going to inherit. Let's look at that right there. Joshua 1, 2. Look, I'm about to give you this land. This is Joshua, God giving it to Joshua. Joshua gets up, he gives this to the people. So Joshua ordered the officers, he said, go to the camp, get your provisions ready. Ooh, that sounds good. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land. So God said, get ready, you're going to go across. Joshua said, get ready, we're going to go into the land. Then in Joshua chapter 2, Rahab says, for I know the Lord has given you this land. Spoiler, I'm going to flash to the end and then I'm going to go back. When the spies make it all the way back to Joshua, let's look at what they said when they return. They said, Joshua, we got good news. God has given us the whole land. Now I want you to see a pattern inside of this messaging that everyone got the same message. Look at this. God gives it to Joshua, and then his spies go out, and then God has spoken the same message to the enemy. So much so that the enemy now has expectations of God's people that they're going to do something incredible in their land. Are you hearing me? That because of what God had done before, because of how the people had followed faithfully, their past victories were now opening up current opportunities. And now even the unbelievers have heard about what God has done and have expectations that God is going to do something in their land. Whenever I think about the road to El Dorado, you know what's amazing? I've already had people stop me at Newman Elementary that is right behind our piece of property and said, hey, are you really building a church over here? Oh, that's awesome. Can't wait. You know what? As soon as you get that thing built, we'd love to come because we live right here beside this. They don't go to church anywhere. And yet they've heard about what our church has done. They've heard about what our church is going to do. And they're saying, we can't wait till you get here because we've heard what God has done. We know what God's going to do. And even the unbelievers have expectations about what God is going to do in our future. And I don't want to disappoint them, do you? Unbelievers waiting to get on the gospel ship. The only thing that stands between them and that opportunity is us. And we get the opportunity to give that gospel message by serving, by living, by sharing, by life groups, by serving, by picking up coffee that's spilt on the ground in the back. Man, so many ways to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that the Rahabs of the world are worth it. Would you guys agree with that? I bet if I went somewhere in your past, I could find a Rahab chapter. A chapter that if someone saw that chapter of your life, they would say, there is no way that this story ends in true love. And did God stop when you were in the middle of your story? Or did opportunity come looking for you? And the church said, oh, come on. Did opportunity come looking for you when you were in the middle of your issue? When everyone else looked at you like the things that you were doing at that time? And you thought they'll never look at me some other way because of the things that I have done in my past. And yet God comes to you and says, no. We can rewrite this story. I have the power to rewrite this. I can make it all new. I can make it white as snow. I can, matter of fact, make it like it never happened. And they might remember, you might remember, but I'll choose to remember it no more, because I cast it as far as the east is from the west in the sea of forgetfulness, and I choose to remember it no more. Does anybody need that opportunity this morning? God impacts the in-between people. The in-between people. Consider this. There was a king in Jericho, and that's not who the spies got sent to. Weird, right? And he had the same message that God was going to destroy the land. He was in fear. If you read the whole chapter, I don't have time. It's like 27 verses. I don't have time to read all that. But he got the same message. That's not where God sent his people. So it wasn't the people that were in charge. It was the in-between people. Rahab became an in-between person. In-between, not in charge, but invaluable to how the story ends. Boy, I would hate that any of you sitting in this audience underestimate yourself because you're not a king. That, is it possible that in our stories we're going to need a lot of in-between people? Have you ever had an in-between person? They weren't in charge, but they dramatically impacted how your story ended, and maybe it was someone that you would have never thought was going to hold a key to your future. Has anybody else ever experienced an in-between person? Anybody raise your hand if you've, yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to need some in-between people if you're going to make it to where God is trying to get you, and you should be careful how you look at others, because they might end up being the person you need to get to where God is trying to take you. Oh my gosh, it doesn't matter what they've been. It matters what they are right now. And what Rahab was a bridge over the barrier between God's people and the promised land. Who would have thought that God would have ever used a person like that? And if you don't believe that God can use you like that, then you are literally, literally spitting in the face of your Creator, because you are a door that He desires to use to open it up. Open up your heart, your soul, with your whole heart, worship Him, and it will draw unbelievers to Him. Man, everyone is a key that unlocks the door to the road to El Dorado. Oh gosh, I'm gonna preach today. Better wrap this up. Verse 12. Now then, please swear to me, is what Rahab said. She knows she's risked her life. Swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign. And the two spies said, our lives are yours. Gosh. Whew. Oh, this isn't even the notes. But, like, if I read that right, are they putting their lives on the line? Are they putting their lives on the line? Are they willing to put their lives, their word, their everything on the line as a trust in order to get God's people where they're trying to go? Man, if you ever believe that this Christianity thing doesn't cost something, if Genesis Metro is going to reach the next generation, you know what it takes? It takes you investing your life and believing that others are worth you investing your life. Our lives for yours. That was the promise that they made. Watch how God does this. Verse 15, it says, so she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Now the men had said to her, the oath that you made us swear will not be binding. Okay? We don't have a deal unless when we enter the land that you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. Two final points. Number one, measuring mercy. Put the verse back up on the screen. the very thing that she used to let them go was the very thing that God was going to use to save her life. I think, if I'm not mistaken, when Jesus launched his church on the side of a mountain in Matthew chapter 5, he said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall what? Obtain mercy." Y'all need to start reading your Bible. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." He goes on to wrap the sermon, and he says, "Be careful with what judgment you judge, because the standard you use to judge others is the standard I'm going to use to judge you. As a matter of fact, if whatever measure you use, in other words, if you took a cup of sugar," he said, "if you took a cup, I'm going to use a cup. If you took a gallon, I'm going to use a gallon. Whatever measure you use when it comes to how you measure mercy toward other people, that's how I'm going to measure mercy to you." Oh, my sanctimonious, pious, better than everyone Christians. Oh my gosh. Can I just say something to you right now? Please stop posting sanctimonious things on social media as if we in our sin are better than the world in their sin. And the church said, it isn't helping our cause. They know that they're sinners. Trust me, I grew up in a sin-filled, godless household. I was never confused a day in my life as to whether or not I was a sinner. What I did not know about was grace. What I did not know about is that opportunity came looking for me on a cross called Calvary and gave me the opportunity to have beauty for ashes. I didn't know about that. If you want to post something redemptive, not something divisive. We don't have time for that. Don't ever walk around in a Christian setting as if your sin is less than someone else's sin. Because God will jump up with grace and grab a hold of a Rahab and change the world while you're sitting there believing that you're better. You won't be written into the story. Go find the names of the thousands of Pharisees that Jesus interacted with. You won't find many. No, you won't be written into the story. But if you could find some grace, if you could find some mercy when they don't deserve it, if you could find some love when they're sitting there hating on you, if you serve them when they're taking advantage of you, oh my gosh, do you think the power of Christ in you might change someone for all of eternity? That's what I believe. That's what I believe. I believe every day we're measuring mercy. And many of us are unaware that what we aren't giving away is what we aren't getting from God. And that if we would learn to bless, that God would bless. And he's taken the measuring cup that you bless others with, and he's blessing you with the same measuring cup. And some of you are so stingy with your blessing that you got a little tiny eighth of an ounce teaspoon, and you like, you get it out every now and then, like once a week, and you like, oh. I'm such a great Christian. There's a little blessing for you. My gosh. You know that God is taking that little eighth of an ounce blessing spoon that you used in his ministry this week, his kingdom this week, his church this week. You know what he's blessing you with? He says, okay, here, let me take that from you. You want to give an eighth of an ounce away? I'll give you an eighth ounce this week. How blessed do you want to be? How blessed do you want to be? Big mercy. Big grace. Big sacrifice. Lives are on the line. The same window that she let those people out is the same window that God saved her. Same grace that you might give today might be the same grace that God uses to save you tomorrow. And then he tied it up with a bow. Did y'all notice that? Would you put that verse on the screen? It said, this is how we're going to know that it's your house. Did y'all catch that? It said that there's going to be a, does anybody know what color scarlet is? Anybody know? It's red. So there's going to be a scarlet thread hanging out of a window. There's this red piece of string hanging out of the window. There was this scarlet thread that was going to tie it all together. The message that went out, the message that reverberated back through Rahab was the same. And God said, just so that I could be clear, I'm going to tie it all together. I'm going to make it all make sense. At the crescendo, just when you thought they weren't going to get back together, God said, I'm going to put a scarlet thread in the window, and oh my gosh, I'm going to tie this thing up like you never thought it could come together. Oh, goodness, why would it be a scarlet thread? It's almost like the scarlet thread is the thread of blood that runs throughout the Bible that says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, and that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of all sacrifice. And it says that he spilled his blood on a cross so that we could be saved from our sin. You see, Jesus Christ is the scarlet thread that ties it all together. From wreckage to redemption, he ties it all together. From when you were in the middle of an issue, an opportunity, walked up to that cross, he ties it all together with a scarlet thread. What got them into the promised land was the scarlet thread. What saved the sinners that were in the land was a scarlet thread. There's no one on the earth that doesn't have the same opportunity because of the scarlet thread has been put out in the window, and it will save any who would believe. Man, that's a good start to this sermon series. Would you guys agree with that? You guys agree with that? You guys ready for some more of this? I just want to ask you a simple personal question. Have you experienced the scarlet thread of Jesus Christ? Very clearly, I'm not asking you if you go to church. I'm not asking you how good you've been. I'm saying, have you ever had an encounter with Jesus in which you gave up control, you surrendered, you asked him to save you and forgive you of your sins? If not, today I hope that would be your day. Let's pray. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you convict hearts. God, that you would be able to communicate with us exactly what we need to do to move forward in your kingdom. Whether we're the visionary who had the message, whether we're the spies that go in and looked at the land, whether we're the Rahab that was redeemed as a result of listening to the message of God that came to her in an unexpected time. God, we all have a part to play, and I pray with all that is in me, that we would give you our lives, God. That the best is yet to come. We've done great things up to this point, but God, you are the God of the greater next day. And I pray that this new generation that's walking in these doors, I don't care if it's their first time, God, that your spirit is going out there with the same message.